refreshing.
Good afternoon. My name is Diane Herriot and I'm the Assistant Secretary of the Parliamentary Libraries Research Branch. It's my absolute pleasure to welcome you here for today's parliamentary lecture and also to welcome all of those who at some stage will be listening to the audio and looking at the PowerPoint on the internet. The parliamentary lecture series enables us to invite distinguished speakers to present on topics of interest to the Australian Parliament. Today's lecture, and next week's too, certainly meet that benchmark, focusing as they do on issues of taxation reform. Today's speaker is Dr. Neil Warren, Professor of Taxation in the School of Taxation and Business Law at the University of New South Wales. Dr. Warren's academic interests lie in public sector economics, particularly taxation policy and fiscal federalism. He has authored and co-authored many academic articles and conference volumes, as well as having published a number of books. Dr. Warren is also much sought after as a source of advice by government agencies, non-government entities and industry groups alike. And he has come to us fresh from a two-day forum here in Canberra on state funding associated with an Australian Research Council discovery grant on federalism for the 21st century, which we might have you back to talk on at some stage. Today, Dr. Warren's topic is alluringly titled Tax 101, How to See Through the Tax Fog on Future Reform. He'll speak for about 40 minutes, after which we'll have some time for questions. Thank you, and could I ask you to welcome Dr. Warren.
Thank you. It's this is a topic, in a way, that is very much subject to fog. And I suppose, in a way, when I teach a tax policy course to master students, which I do every semester and have done for about 11 years now, these students are lawyers and accountants, not economists. And tax is so much the domain of economists. And economists like to have a language of their own, and that language is not often accessible. So typically, and this semester was no exception, having completed my first lecture, my master's student come up and say, that's all fine, but where do we find corroboration of what you're saying? Where's this simple, clear, or attempt to be clear, a way of thinking through tax policy? And I keep telling them, well, I'm kind of working on it. I'll think about it. And I then came the opportunity to present on tax reform. And I thought, well, maybe this is the excuse I need to do what I haven't done before. And I've written on, and I wrote a book back in, I did one version of it in 98 and another one in 2004 called Tax, Tax, Fiction and Reform. And I'm now being pressured to do another one, which I think I'll schedule for about 2013. It's a long way off, but a lot of pressure to do it. And what that is, I don't know if you've seen it, but it's like a little quick publication to get across different topics of tax. But you know, backing up, I mean, the critical thing in all of this is how the heck do you make sense of tax? I mean, what's wrong with the tax debate? So if you look, for example, at the last 12 months, 18 months, you have to be honest and say that, you know, what's been the most problematic area of public policy? Well, frankly, it's taxation. Just be frank, it's been terrible. In terms of this, if you just look at, you know, what's happened. Carbon tax, we've got a debate right now, and for the next month, we'll continue on a carbon tax issue. We've had the Henry Review, and the response, the government's response to that, on resource super profits tax, which morphed into a minerals resource rent tax. And then we've had the state saying, yippee, we'll increase our royalties. The mining company's not going to be any worse off. After all, we just, you know, it's deductible against the federal minerals resource tax. And so, not surprisingly, the Commonwealth got upset with the states and made all sorts of gestures about what they might do to their grants. At the same time, we've now got a GST distribution review. So this tax debate kind of churns around, and you kind of think, well, what's wrong? Why actually are we doing it in a way so badly? It's massive resources are put into it. Henry reviewed. It's not a cheap exercise, it's a very complicated exercise, not just for Treasury, but for everybody who's doing submissions. The forum is coming out. I'll have a little bit to say about that later. Enormous, you know, investment by those people attending and in terms of the submissions, massive. I mean, I'm involved in a number of those, and really, it's just, you know, you have to kind of appreciate the massive amount of work that's sitting behind it. And if you cost it all out, so you step back and you say, well, what's wrong? How do I actually progress some of this debate? Because basically, the problem with tax, it hurts. And because it hurts every one of you, the result is that you're all an expert. You're totally uninformed, glass of wine, dinner table, instant expert. And you, rightly so, because you have an interest in it, because you're paying it. So it hurts. It's complex, and every so often people say, well, we're going to make it simple. Rubbish. The real world's complex, and tax is complex, and it'll always be complex. So, in a way, get over the complexity. We can try to make it a bit more transparent, and so on. So, it hurts, it's complex, it's easily misrepresented. Very easy. And I've got my interests, and I'm very powerful, and I'm going to push my particular line and drown out your particular line. And it's easy, then, if it's misrepresented, to be misunderstood. So, if you take that as a background, and you think, well, do I throw my hands up in the air and sort of walk away, or what do I do? As we said, we ran a forum the last couple of days, and I brought in 5 internationals to talk about the state funding issue. The critical thing in all of these issues, like state funding and tax issues, is to remember that there is not a single answer. Okay? This is the critical thing. There is not a single answer, a silver bullet. What I want to do in the next 30-40 minutes is kind of walk through this presentation so that in a way, hopefully it's not what you hear from me and what people download, but it's what you can kind of learn from it in terms of the way to think through the tax issue and what you need to do. So it's not going to be so much text on lines as animated pictures, animated story of how to actually work your way through this tax issue. Because there is a way when I go through it. And the thing is, we have to be careful in all of this. We all run around playing a blame game. You know, it's a media issue, second grade, we don't get a chance to explain ourselves. You know, special interests overwhelm what's going on. Governments are coalition building and they confuse us to what they stand for and what they're trying to say. Government agencies are not disinterested parties here, they do have their own views. Are we getting mixed messages? What government wants, what bureaucracies want. What's happened to academic independent research, which I will lament later as I should do as an academic. But in the whole area of public sector, public finance, we're frankly a dying breed. Literally. I mean, I've been to 2 forums in the last 2 weeks, and I'm the only non-retired person in the area, and they want to watch out. and it's really quite annoying. You think, where's the young public finance, you know, the governmental, you know, where's the young academics? The answer is, they don't exist. Why don't they exist? Because you actually can't publish in A-star and A-level journals and academic institutions in tax. It doesn't happen. You have to do it in pure micro theory that looks like mathematics and not economics. That's just the reality of what's actually happened with A-Star. So the academic part of it, so it is kind of gone. And you just have to look around to see that. And what's also happened is this concept of independent research has gone out of tax. So we kind of blame different reasons for this. But it still doesn't excuse us not kind of understanding how we got to this position and then what we can do about it. And I think what I'm going to try to do is to help you sort of think through all of those issues you need to think about when you think about tax. In what is basically three PowerPoints, might be a little bit complex PowerPoints, but three of them. Let's start with this first proposition. And the first proposition is that we all have the answer and we don't know the question. Okay? And that's what's happening. All the time we go, well, what you need to do is cut this tax. And what you need to do is raise the threshold and reduce the marginal tax rates and everything will be all right. What's actually happened is you've completely missed the point. You need to back up. What are you talking about? There's no point talking about what's happening with the GST distribution or what states are doing unless you back up to the kind of question that a state treasury or a budget finance minister will be looking at. So, whenever you look for answers, you're going to miss the big picture. You need to take a different approach. You need to first know what's the question, and then you can make it, then the answer can make sense. You can kind of give it context. So, and it was interesting yesterday, whenever I, now having sort of paired this and run through yesterday, I was trying to put what people were saying into the framework that I developed. And I can put most of them in there. And interesting, I had a guy from the OECD out at this forum that we were running. And at the end of the day, I had what was called speed federalism at the end of the day. So speed federalism, I put my five internationals on the table. I gave them 2 minutes each to divide, to address a specific federalism issue. Just 2 minutes. Okay. And when it got to the OECD guy about process and so on, he just went communication. And it's quite interesting because you cannot underestimate that issue of communication. He was good. I mean, I must admit, the OECD is doing a lot of excellent work, and what he was presenting on was the lessons from managing reform in federations within the OECD. That's what he was presenting on. And how, what's good practice and what's not good practice. And it kind of relates directly into where I'm going in this presentation. So, if it's about, understanding the question and not about, starting with the answer, how do I proceed in all of this? Well, I started off, I thought, well, we need maybe three of these. And then I started off, some people come up and say, I did it again. They said, if you use three, it's like you couldn't think of a fourth one. And if you use five, seven is too many, just you'd be sloppy, disciplined. So I thought, oh good, I've had five of these things, so I'm okay. Five is a good number. And then at one stage I had PDP on the last because I started with three. I thought three is good. This is not complete. I started with principles, policy, design, and process. But there's a problem there. I actually haven't still framed the question. I'm getting down to solutions. But after all, if you think of principles, and you pick up the Henry Review, what's the Henry Review? Well, the first thing it does is sets out the principles that I'm going to apply to assess what I'm going to do in this particular review. Sorry, you actually haven't started the right place. I have to ask the question, well, what the heck am I doing here anyway, in the first instance? You need to back up. And you need to back up two levels. And purpose was, okay, I've got another P, I thought, I'm on a roll here. And then I thought, there's parameters in between the two. And I could call it another word, but then I had to put policy in front of design so I could get my five P's. So I thought, yes, I've got five P's. Let me walk you through it, because if having done, you remember the five P's, what do the five P's stand for? Well, the first one is purpose. What is government there for anyway? What are you trying to do? What's the role? Is it? And really, at the end of the day, government, it's this allocation, distribution, stabilisation and growth. The standard things you taught, basic economics, what is the role of government? So it's there to correct the things. It's about making sure resource markets work, making sure distribution issues affect an account on. So that's the kind of things in your focus. Now, you might have different people weight those things differently. That's fine. But they are your four key elements that you'll see in any standard text. Fine. So we worked out the purpose. Parameters. What are parameters? What do we mean by parameters? Well, basically, parameters are your constants. Now, this is really important, and it's so often forgotten about. But, for example, in the forum we just had, parameters are critical. The parameters are, what's your institution? How does it work? We've got a constitution with Section 90, Section 96, and so on. You know, for the states, they're the critical things. You have to think about those things which you can't actually do much about. They're kind of the constants. They're the framework in which you work. So it could be your political system, system of government, election system, and so on. And it can be these other factors. You know, so Western Australia's got iron ore. Well, and New South Wales got coal. Queensland's got coal. These are just things that happen. It's just the way. But they are the constants that you need to work with. You know, high Indigenous population in Northern Territory. You've got to deal with those kind of constants. You're not going to change that. But if you ignore them, you're ignoring one of those important factors that are going to influence policy. So, we've got our first, we've got our purpose, we've got our parameters, and now we've got our principles. Now, our principles reflect off of our purpose. So, if we're talking about resource allocation, you'll find efficiency comes in. If you talk about distribution, you'll find equity comes in. Stability and growth. So if you go back to Adam Smith and you work your way through, we're talking about tax, what's the criteria that you use, just lining them up, and you see here's the Henry review here, the ants, 85 dry flat paper, aspirate, and so on. There's your alignment. They all align up. So, and they line up to purposes of government. So most reports kind of start here. You know, what's the criteria that we're going to use to assess? But like I said, you need to back two levels up for completeness. Go to institutions, your parameters, and then to your purpose. So as I said, most start here. Well, that's fine. And do remember all the time that how you tax, that the art of tax policy is balancing off all of these different competing principles. There is no unique combination. There's always trade-offs involved in these things. So there's your principles. Now we start to get to the interesting bit: policy design. Now, this is much harder, and I think where very few reports are, and they need to get there. Now, having got through this, it's interesting to reflect back on the Henry report of how it handled this issue. And I'm going to do it like this, and I'm going to be complete. So you might be able to read that, but the first one's saying, think what the functions of government are. So it's going to your purpose. So this is how much money do I need? What are the kind of functions that I've got? The next one is, and don't forget, you've got the states in there. You know, who's going to do what? Who does what better than others in terms of these different functions that you've got? And you see, we haven't got to tax yet, but you need to have that in there, into your equation. Think about the method now of funding. Now, don't think of funding as being tax, because that's only a little bit of the funding issue. Now, one of the things that came out yesterday and the day before at our forum was that one of the problems we brought by letter from Spain, what's been to reflect on the EU and what's happened within Spain, what everybody's taken their eye off of in Europe is debt as a funding avenue. It's not a sustainable way to fund government. And it's been, while everything's racing on ahead, it's fine. When things stop and pull back, it's not fine. And in fact, what's happening now within Europe, Spain's changed their constitutional. You know, the constitution, you cannot now. So they're putting hard budget constraints into constitutions rather than soft budget constraints. Soft is government maybe, you know, soft rules rather than hard rules. Switzerland, for example, how does Switzerland handle debt? It's very simple how Switzerland handles debt. If you run a debt, that automatically, your taxes automatically increase without you doing anything. It's just a functional relationship. So when this, when Bernard Davon was talking, and he was saying, well, we don't have budget deficit debt issues in Switzerland, because we can't, by definition, because as soon as you go into deficit, your taxes go up, so it stops. So you have it's a low tax country because no one's prepared for taxes to go up because expenses go up because taxes go up. It's just automatic. So don't forget to put debt as part of your funding equation. The next thing is that revenue is not just tax. So you see, we haven't got to tax yet, because there's also a significant non-revenue source. So when you talk to a state, and states say, well, actually the state doesn't have much debt, but by gosh, those government business enterprises have got a lot of debt. What's going on? Well, it's just another funding vehicle for states. Or, gee, isn't it interesting how those government business enterprises are making so much profits, and we're able to roll those profits over into the revenue side, whether it's gas or water, electricity. And this is an issue in Switzerland. And I hadn't heard this term before. And he was saying that their big issue between the different cantons in Switzerland is that they have their own Western Australias and Queenslands. And you probably wouldn't have thought of this, and I hadn't even thought of that. In Europe, it's called blue fuel. Okay? They talk about blue fuel. Now, what is it? Water. So the iron ore and the coal of Europe is water. So the canton that has water is very rich, very, very rich. And those that don't are your poor states. So those with water are able to charge a lot for their water, and that impacts on other cantons. So don't forget your non-tax revenue. As you can see, we haven't yet got the tax. Now you can think tax. Now, when you start to think tax, you go to your principles, and then you go to your level of government. Think about your level of government. And now it starts to get interesting, and where you can kind of place the Henry Review. My problem with the Henry Review is that when I look at it, I'm just a little bit confused. And you'll see why I'm a little bit confused by what I'm about to do. I'm going to tell you there are actually three very different categories of taxes I need to think about simultaneously when I'm talking about tax. And what the Henry Review does, as most of these reviews do, is mix it all up. But you need to separate it to allow you to think through it. The first one is what we're going to call general taxes. And there's some detail under there about questions you need to ask. I'll touch on some of that in a minute. So general taxes. Your next one are what I call economic and social enhancing taxes. Now, the Henry Review calls them corrective taxes. I heard them yesterday referred to as regulatory taxes. You can call them kind of what you like, but I just called them these economic and social enhancing. I've got a problem, I'm going to fix it. It's called alcohol abuse or tobacco, I'm going to fix it. So that's what your second. And then your third category is your benefits principles taxes, which is, well, we can't allow the private sector to provide these goods, the public sector is going to provide them because we're interested in universality and so on. So it's a user pays, but it's where the government is the provider. Or the government contracts the provision. So you've got a public provision but private production of those under some kind of contractual relationship. So you've got these three levels. And then, even having done that, you've got to think, who does these things best? What way am I going to cut and dice this thing? The next thing that comes out of this is, remember we've thought about how much debt do we want, and the other thing that was being talked about was that, well, if you are going to go to a hard, and this is what's being talked about now, about hard budget constraints instead of soft budget constraints, people start talking about what they call the 360 rule, which, I don't know, I'd never heard of, but the 360 rule is what some countries now are hardwiring in legislatively, constitutionally. The 360 rule is the following, that the deficit should be no more than 3% of GDP and debt should be no more than 60% of GDP.
If it hits those limits, then taxes must change or expenditure must come down or taxes go up. So moving to hard budget constraints. But if you take that, you know, you worked out how much you want your expenditure to be, you worked out what you're willing to accept in terms of deficits, you got your mix of taxes, who's going to do what, and then obviously you're going to have gaps within your across your jurisdiction. So what this is also doing is making you forcing you to think about the decentralisation that you've got and who's delivering what. Don't forget that issue. It's actually not just about the Commonwealth, it's not just about the states. It's about states, local government and the Commonwealth, the whole lot together. And then you have to think about how you mix the kind of specific purpose grants or general revenue grants and how you allocate those. So this is where the GST distribution review is, down in here. But as you can see, if you back up, you can kind of, what this is trying to do is to allow you to see where different issues fit and trying to look at the Henry review and say, well, I now know where, when they're talking about company tax and so on, it fits up there, and then they were getting onto environmental, so carbon tax is obviously in here, tobacco's in here, gambling's in here. Petition these things so you can actually think your way through what is going on. So that's your policy design. Just a couple of very quickly test this stuff. The other thing that's missing in this debate all the time, and you hear on the carbon tax, we're going to make polluters pay. I'm sorry, you're going to make people pay. Because people, by consuming things, are doing the things you don't want them to do, buying those goods that pollute, so somebody has to pay. So when you have tax the polluter and compensate the individual, this will tell you, well, you know, sorry, it's individuals that have to pay everything in the end. So once you accept that only people pay taxes, you can kind of start to think your way through and what's going on. And the other thing is that all these bases are linked. So you can, at the individual level, you just look at the simple old circular flow, what's going on, you know? So this is the link between all of these bases. Now, we could tax consumption if we wanted to, we could tax income, but there is a direct link, and we can get more sophisticated about that link. So that's in relation to general tax design. But if I took one aspect of this, and I just took business tax, and this is another problem that I have, say, with the Henry review, is it's not clear at all, as I'll try to do it here. I'm confused about how it went about it. Because it says, for example, that we have four tax bases. We've got personal income, business income, consumption, and rents, land and resources. What? I'm sorry, but you know, they are related to income. I'm sorry. So let me just show you exactly what I'm saying. If we think about business tax, there's many different bases in which you can attack business. You can tax it, start with their inputs, you can go to their factors, you can tax them on land that there's an input, or labour that's an input, or capital. Now, this is where Henry is, I feel, just could be cleaner. The Merlis report and others are cleaner on this. It's not another tax base, it's ways of thinking about the same tax base. There's three ways that you can handle taxation of corporations. Okay? This is the way I teach to my students. It's very easy to think about it. It's all about what do you do with debt and the cost of debt. And so it's a debt, it's basically the funding, how you treat dividends and interest. And the different ways that you can cut it will give you different bases. So if you like, in our system, we give a deduction for interest, but not interest cost of capital, but not the dividend, if you like, the equity cost of capital. And you can cut it the other way. You can either give no deductions for any of the capital costs, or you can give a deduction for all of those capital costs. And they give you your three bases. If you give a deduction for all of your capital costs, you've got a rent tax. Okay? That's your rent base. Okay? But if you give none, you've got a comprehensive business income as your base. Or if you get in the middle, like we've got, where you give a deduction for interest cost of debt, but not for dividend cost of debt, well, that's the problem. You've kind of biased the system. You're between the two extremes, and that's the problem. So the big problem for Mermaids and others is, well, which way do you go, to the top or the bottom? So do you go for that or do you go for this? We don't want that. That's part of the cause of the GFC. So if we go to this, we're moving to cash flow. So if you move into cash flow, how do you actually, if you can't go to a pure one, what's the, you know, the allowance for corporate equity issues and so on come in there? But that's how you think of, that's just the split, the three-way split. It's just how do you handle income with a business income tax. And then you just come down to, well, what are we doing about businesses have these produced inputs? They also get taxed on their outputs, and they can be produced, so you can have your GST sitting in there, so the same ones can be on your inputs and outputs. And then you also in this need to think about your tax unit, big business, small business, you know, some countries treat businesses differently, what you're doing about trusts, and then your mix of business taxes that you might want, and rate structures and revenue that you want from this. So what you've got there is covering all. There's your business taxation, and it's got your so-called rent tax, which is over here, sitting there amongst the ways that you tax capital. So it's closed, it's complete. But the critical thing to remember in this, that's a little example of where you can think through, but the critical thing is here, remember that these are, people still pay taxes. These still have to go through to individuals. And that's where, once you start talking about rent taxes, you have to think about how you're gonna handle dividends, that are acting as a deduction, so your withholding regimes and so on become important. So, the next important P in all of this is process. And this is also where we fail and fail abysmally. Probably the best practice internationally really around this that's been documented is over here, New Zealand's generic policy development process, GPDP. They used to call it GTPP, which is generic tax policy process, because they developed this out of a recommendation of a government review back in about 95. And what this is follows. It has five phases. And it's the process that you go through, and it's now applied to all government policy deliberations, this process. And if we just flick these other ones, so it's, you know, government building it into its whole policy and its budget framework and its budget deliberations. And then, so you've got your, and this is a contestable environment. Different departments have, you know, if you go to the Inland Revenue in New Zealand, it has a tax policy department. Well, you can mention the ATO having a tax policy department here, but that's the case in New Zealand, because tax policy is a contestable area, not owned by a treasury. It's contestable. So, and here's the other important thing that sits in here, is this whole green paper, white paper concept, which I'll say a little bit about in a minute. And then, as you see, there's a lot in this stuff, but it's kind of, you go away and look at it and think about it quietly about what's going on. And then what this whole process does is maps how you go about implementing. It's not just, it's dropped out of Treasury, we're going to throw it to the ATO or somebody else to try to bring this thing in. We manage the whole process all the way through. Green papers, white papers, the consultation. And then the last bit here is all this implementation and post-implementation review. It's complete, it's tidy, and it's formalised. Now this is pretty unique to actually have this documented and run by government in this way. The other issue, just to reflect on, is, well, what do we do? Well, what this previous approach is, it's a very open process with contestable advice, the opportunity for different parties to come together to be able to input into the process. We used to do some of that. It was fairly common to have these independent Royal Commission type exercises, Commonwealth Committees, advisory panels to Treasury, these independent advisors. I mean, one of the things the international said to it, so you've got this GST distribution review, do you have an expert panel? No, you have the Treasury. where's the expert panel? So when the Canadians did their reviews, where's the experts? Where's the independent experts as a countervailing force? It's not there. What have we done since then? Well, what we've done since then is manage these in a very specific way, essentially with Treasury Secretariats. So we don't have the arm's length relationship that we used to have. These are much more managed in terms of the process. So if I just summarise these different steps, you have to think through that kind of sequence. Now, it's not that you have to go always right back, but you need to be able to reflect. Okay, I know where the other ones are, I know what the answers are, but I'm going to start here and sort of work out of that particular point. The other thing, and so what I've also done is brought in here this idea of how you manage this independently or internally, and this green paper, white paper process, which is so fundamentally linked to what the New Zealand process does. So you can see this is all, it's about being able to structure and think through the various issues, and not just, you know, should we change the threshold or some specific tax. You can slot most things into this once you understand where you are when you're having that debate. Otherwise, you just kind of walk in, you're fighting over the answers and you don't know what the question or how you move forward from the question. So, as I said, one station like Hans Jörg said yesterday, you know, it's all about communication, communication, communication. If you don't communicate it, you know, you're not going to get reform that's going to get through. And I think, you know, when you said that, I thought that's about as pertinent as you can possibly get. So, what do you need? You need a clear purpose. You need to acknowledge your parameters. You need your principles to be clear. These are typically always clear. You need your policy design to be clear. But you need to have some structure and some discipline to that, and you need your process to be clear. Now, part of the problem with Henry was that the government got the report, sat on it. You know, in there's over 160 elements to the 138 recommendations. It announced what it was going to do with three of those, hitting everybody cold. We're going to do this to company tax, we're going to do this to mineral resources. But the kind of the way forward, the communication wasn't there, and the way forward wasn't really, it was a reactive position that government then went into. So government needs to accept that there's a bigger risk for no tax policy research, or what I call controlled research, than there is from independent research. And it's interesting, recommendation 134 says that the government should go out and contract or fund independent research in academic institutions. So if I wrap up and say, well, what's all this mean for the forum from my point of view? And I'm going to be there, so it'll be interesting to see what actually does happen. Firstly, what's the risk? What the risk is that we sit there for 2 days and we go on about answers. Now, I want the company tax rate to come down, and I want my threshold to be very high and the rates to be very... Oh, goodness gracious me. I mean, it'll be a disaster because you've all got the right to say that, but it's actually not going to take you anywhere because you're all fighting to have your answer heard, so it comes, sure, my answer is more important than your answer. What's the context? What are you talking about? What we have to back up from this. What's the opportunity? Well, obviously, I mean, I'll just say, you know, you need to kind of think. Back it up a bit. You know, where are you coming from? So if business says, cut company tax. I mean, rightly, the government said to people who are coming, you know, tell us if you're going to cut something, you know, how you're going to raise it. Only trouble is that makes people focus on the answers, not on how you got there enough. So this is just a discipline. That is useful to think about. And finally, I mean, what's the reward for kind of thinking like this? Well, you get a more informed, open. Now, the other thing that's critical in all of this that's come out in the last few days at this forum was that, you know, don't think you're going to do any of this quickly. If you think you're going to do important things quickly, you're dreaming. It's these you need to sow and you shall reap. But if you think you're just going to go out there and reap, what if you've got nothing to reap, just except chaos, because you're throwing the rock in the middle of the pond? So get out there and sort of sow. And that's where the communication issue becomes important. That's where the way to think about these issues becomes important. But also, at the same time, you kind of agree to set a framework and a way of thinking through these issues. So the more informed and open the text about gives you more opportunity to stop rent seekers. And rent seekers thrive on poor information, inadequate information, or where... And frankly, look at the minerals resource rent tax, resource super profits tax. I mean, that is such a disappointing piece of public policy failure. To me, it's catastrophic. And the costs to the community from the original position to the final position is enormous. I mean, it's not 1 billion, not 2 billion. It's an enormous amount. So, you know, a little bit of investment can go a long way to raising the debate, to working out where we sit in this equation. So that's where I want to finish. But you know, essentially what I've tried to do in this is to get you to be a bit disciplined about the way you think through these things. So for me, for the forum, I'm not going there looking for answers. I'm actually looking there for what actually happens next. What's the kind of pathway out of this? Because if you're looking for answers, you're going to get a whole lot of whiplash things. Oh, we should cut this and increase that. So happy to take questions, comments.
Thank you.
I'm not an economist, so it might be a dumb question, but you're talking about, you know, some other countries sort of setting constitutional limits around debt to GDP ratios and things. Why do they talk about it in those terms rather than debt to revenue? Because, you know, I guess to my mind, you know, a highly government-controlled economy, it might actually make sense because GDP and revenue might be somewhat closer to that. Market economy, presumably there's a large gap between the two.
I'll tell you, good point. It's an interesting point because while the world is improving and going up, you can focus on your revenue. What's actually happening increasingly is what they're calling sort of competition through the floor, you know, destructive competition or the competition downwards. So if you go back to the chart and you say, if you believe tax competition is, and this particularly happens in, say, federations, you know, between jurisdictions, there is a real possibility that you will spiral downwards in tax competition. Okay. Now, when that spirals downwards, there's actually nothing that says to you, stop this, because it's actually creating a debt problem. You're passing this problem to future generations. So within Europe and these other places, and Ireland and other places, they kept going down and down. You know, you're winning the race to the bottom, but you took your eye off the fact that if it kind of stops, you're actually going to have a catastrophic debt problem. The expenditure's up here, you're cutting down here, you know that you can keep borrowing cheap money. So you've taken your eye off how you're funding through debt. That's why I put debt back up there as a revenue source. So what they've said is, everybody took their eye off debt because they thought, oh, it's just revenue to GDP. But what happens if you race your way down, you're not covering off your cost of government? So they're saying, well, since we can't trust ourselves, we're going to hardwire it in. This spiral downwards, this competition downwards. And we see it here with company tax. You know, oh, so-and-so's got X percent, and we need, you know, Henry said we need 25. Others have got 15 and 12 and a half. That's where we need to go. So slow down, work out what kind of government you want. So back it up. How big a government do you want? Do you want their services as well that go with their taxes? If you don't, then you can explain what you've got. Otherwise, if you keep your services and you cut your rates, you're going to spiral your debt. You've still got to fund the thing. So it's making you think about all the variables in the equation. Yes, it doesn't make it simpler, but it does make it, hopefully when you just look at, you know, I've tried to put it on one slide so you can get print, right? Where does this sit? That's the issue. Think of all the ways you could fund, and that's the way to answer it. It's a race to the bottom problem.
Thank you.
The Board of Taxation, could you talk a little bit about the role that you see that it might play with, you know, when you were talking about the possibility of having sort of an independent body or group looking at development of policy? I mean, where do you see the Board of Taxation, the issues that with that? Or?
The Board of Taxation, it's evolving in terms of its role, but now can sort of self-initiate, which it couldn't previously. You could only get directives from the Treasurer. You know, I have good friends in the Treasury, but, you know, they're all Treasury Secretariats. You know, the Board of Tax is in the Treasury. What I'm, in a sense, I have a problem that we kind of don't trust letting go. And I know tax is sensitive, but you know, we have to find a way to have to get this thing more at arm's length. So I don't feel that the Board of Tax is the way to go, because it's still, you kind of got to get it at arm's length from everybody. Because the really, really important thing in all of this is you've got to give everybody the opportunity to dismiss them, say, that's ridiculous. Because it's a very important part of the process. Somebody floats a policy that you want them to float, but you want to be able to say, that is ridiculous. Don't you think that's ridiculous? And you've got enough distance from them to be able to do that. You can't do that with a Board of Tax because it's all in the same building. You know, but if you can kind of get it away that, you know, the Canadians have these arm's length reviews, then you can pour water on them, throw stones at them, and then see what happens, rather than have, like you do with the Henry review, you put all your eggs in this basket, you cast your stone, and the ripple coming back at you weren't ready for it. And the community wasn't ready for it. And the business groups got organised and everybody got left behind. So I think you've got to give distance that we don't currently have. And the government's, what I was trying to show with, historically, government's been bringing it in closer and closer and closer since about 85. And what I'm saying is, if they just let some of it go and stop trying to manage some of it, then we'd all probably be better off, because then everybody can throw stones and the public can have that information, that independent information in that debate. So I don't have much, you know, of a role for the Board of Tax in that kind of context.
Well, Sir Warren, I was just wondering if any research done here about flat tax rate. Steve Forbes was championing at some stage of his life to implement that rate in America. But is there any research done here?
Not a lot. I mean, where all that debate is going is, Australia does not have an income tax. It doesn't have an expenditure tax, a direct expenditure tax. It's got a hybrid system. Okay. So there are two types of income taxes. We call them scheduler and global. Okay. So the scheduler is where you're, so I'm coming to a roundabout way to answer to your question. Where the debate internationally has gone is that you need to go to scheduler, in effect, go to scheduler systems of taxation of income. Now, our problem is we have a global. And global means you take all your income, you pour it into one block, and you throw it against one schedule. Schedule is you take the different streams of income and you throw it at its own schedule. And the way we develop a schedule system in our system is we bring it all together, but on the way to being aggregated, we discount it. Okay, so we get capital gains half. You know, Henry said, anything to do with property and capital, 40% discount. Okay, so we bring it in. So what you're getting, you're creating your scheduler system, so your elements of, and what this is trying to do is respond to mobility issues. Okay. Now, that's where that debate has gone. It's the scheduler tax type of debate. And you say you're getting your flat tax, which has kind of come out of incentive effects, but it's not blunt. It's now being, you know, it's low and flat for capital. It's still high and progressive for labour. And you see that all through Henry. You've got to watch your effective marginal tax rates for the tax welfare interaction at the bottom, because that's about labour supply. It's driven by efficiency, then the tension is equity. So we've got these hybrid systems that are kind of giving you this flatter system by a hybrid. And superannuation is your biggest. That's a straight expenditure tax in a way. So that's, you know, going, and the way we treat housing, owner-occupied home is another expenditure tax type principle. So it's kind of morphed into on past. What I'm getting at is that's kind of moved on. And what in fact happened to a lot of the flat tax debates, it actually was a bit of a ruse. What happened was, you could call it a right-wing conspiracy. What happened was that they brought in these flat taxes, but then they brought in massive social security taxes. Look through Europe, who brought in what are called dual income taxes. Their social security levies are 20-25%. So, and they are regressive because they have typically have a cap, they're not flat taxes. So that debate has kind of got more sophisticated, more complicated than just what Steve Forbes and others were just saying, you know, make it flat. Now it's tailoring to elasticities.
In terms of your 5P pathway, is there one or two countries around the world that you think could do that better than everybody else?
Well, I think New Zealand is unusual because, in a sense, you can roll some of what you've got in that process that I'm calling process. If you look at what happens underneath that, in a way, that's what they are doing underneath that. You know, because government's considering, you know, if you look at the budget, you know, the forward estimates, what are we trying to do, what are the kind of policies? So that generic policy development process is there. I mean, the other thing is, we're not that far from it. If you just go, it was interesting, I'd sort of forgotten this aspect, but if you just type in green paper and restrict it to Australia in Google, you'll see there's a lot of green paper, white paper exercises going on. Okay. Now that's one of the critical ingredients, because the green paper is, you know, what are we trying to do? What's the issue? What are all the options? White paper is, now let's narrow it down. And there's about three or four of these green paper, white paper approaches that have been undertaken in the last 3 years. Some of the environmental work, some relating to aeronautical issues and so on. So what I found interesting is that it's kind of over there, and I'm trying to scope this into a paper, and I've identified in the paper, if you're interested, I can head in the direction of where they've gone through this kind of exercise. So all I'm just trying to do is say, well, if we're doing some of this, can we kind of formalise this to, and you know, you might want to do it through this generic policy process, but you don't have to add that much to it to make that happen. And in a way, the best thing to do is to find where you're actually doing it, because then it's not, you can't say that you haven't done it. You know, best form of, you know, flattery is imitation.
Professor, thanks for your presentation. A short tax forum later in the year seems to me is going to be, its chances of being successful is going to be driven by being able to prepare the people to go through some of these 5P pathway processes. Realistically, that's probably not going to happen. And isn't it likely just to be a talk fest for vested interests?
I think the critical thing is how you get everybody ready in the 2 weeks before. I know the Treasury is trying to get all the submissions from all the different people up very soon so that everybody can look at what everybody else is saying. And there are facilitators in this forum. I think the critical thing is they've got to work out what they want out of it. You know, and you can't head into it not having a very clear idea of where you what your exit velocity is, otherwise you could explode in the inside of this thing. So it's, in a way, when I'm developing this, I'm kind of thinking how you, and you know, I've done a submission, I gave it to them last week, and if you want to look at what I'm basically saying, I mean, A, they want, you know, they want some wins, they want some positive things to be able to say, so I put recommendations into my three pages. But it's got this in there, the 5Ps. It's got the funding of research. It's got the transparency issue. So I haven't sort of get, you know, need to raise this threshold and cut company tax. Now, I don't want to talk about the answers in this place. So the thing is, they need, in a way, if they can work out what they want the up, and then reverse engineer it, and then line up the people accordingly, they can get. You know, you should never hold a meeting unless you know what the conclusions of the meeting are. So they'll be busy trying to work out what the answers, what the conclusions are. But I think when you think like this, you can kind of see what some of those conclusions are, which is kind of how you go forward. So I think there's got to be the way up things, and then there may be some immediate things. But the medium term, I wouldn't get too excited about. That'll sort of look after itself, but get some pathways going forward. So that's what, you know, I'm sort of looking for, and I think there probably are too. you know, what are the outcomes, and then sort of work in to make sure you get to the outcomes. But I think this gives you a way to kind of think through some of these things to sort of put them in perspective.
To follow up, isn't there a fundamental flaw in the sense that, like the Henry Tax Review, and I think it's also this process as well, to automatically decide that things like the GST are out of the equation for political reasons, that, you know, instantly sort of, you know, limiting your options and your ability to sort of accept
I mean, GST is going to be in the equation. Let's get real here. I mean, this is not about, you know, excluding certain things, and already various groups have said, you know, it's got to be on the shopping list. It's simply got to be there. People will talk about whether the government says, you know, or the best thing government can say is, we're going to do nothing about it, but go ahead and talk about it. You know, that's fine, because frankly, this is a long-term thing. It's not a government-specific thing. It's not, what are you going to do in the next 12 months? I think that's a mistake. If you think, if this forum is about what we're going to do in the next 12 months, you completely miss the point of the opportunity that this exercise offers. So, yes, the GST has to be there, but it's not just about the GST. You know, it's about, frankly, it's about the carbon taxes and gambling taxes. It's about what kind of mix do you want? Because, you know, if you didn't give all your money away from the carbon taxes, it actually raises you a lot of money. What are you going to do with that? You know, there's a whole literature called the double dividend literature. You know, you put out a carbon tax, which makes the markets more efficient, and then you take that revenue and you cut a tax that's inefficient, so you get a dividend over there from cutting an inefficient tax and a dividend here from putting a tax which is efficiency improving. So that's why you've got the mix one and the mix two, you know, and it's saying, how do I mix those two types of taxes? You know, I've had a couple of conversations with people saying, you know, you need to talk about the mix of these economic and social enhancing and these general taxes. No, they just want to talk about cutting company tax or cutting increasing the GST. I said, well, you're doomed. You know, when did we hear talking about carbon tax factored in to the revenue, you know, as a just another revenue source? After all, it's just, to me, it's just like excise duty and tobacco, petrol, alcohol, you know, carbon. Sorry, it's just the new excise duty. Now, yes, we can have a debate. Does the government go in and set a price, or does the government go in and set the quantity? So emissions trading versus carbon tax. But, you know, you're trying to get to the same outcome. But let's put it in there as just another revenue source. It's market correcting, you know, and does it not get so emotional about the thing? It's just what you should do and the debate that you should be having.
Okay, Mitchell,
you had your hand up at one point. I was going to ask you what you thought of the remarks attributed to Rob Heffernan about the GST, but I think you partly answered.
Yeah, I was there chairing the session, and you didn't say that. He was talking about, you know, the compliance costs and the elasticity issues and so on. And I think there's some extrapolation that's no doubt got Rob into some difficulty, but that's, you know, that's part of the, I suppose, the media kind of firing up this, you know, the thorn of the GST when it shouldn't be. We should be able to have that conversation about it. And in my view, I mean, it's got to be on. Yeah. You have we have a very expensive car with a very small motor in it. Do we do something about the motor? Do we put a bigger motor in it, or do we, do we get an even bigger car? Do we broaden the base? But let's have the dialogue. And it's important to the states if it's going to be a state tax. But for states, it's actually become an issue because it turned into not a very robust tax. It was great while people were spending more than they were saving, and now now everybody's gone on bunkering down. Income's there, but you know, and the government, Commonwealth, gets its income tax, and the consumption tax base falls away, and the states are getting hurt. So they don't like the GST. They never ever liked the GST. I mean, I ran a conference with the states in '99. Tax Foundation published the proceedings. All they talked about was income tax sharing the base. And the Henry Review says about sharing the base of the income tax, because at least it's a robust base, a bit more than what consumption is, particularly since you've got food, education, particularly education, the services, the education, the health, the ones that are really growing are out of the base. It's not robust. And it's not as bad as the wholesale sales tax, but it's still slipping away. It's still a problem area. But, you know, we need to have that. Need to have that discussion, but it shouldn't overwhelm everything else. You know, we need to just think of that one slide on how it sort of fits together.
Any other questions?
to, I suppose it's a question for you. Do you think it, you know, you're my students? I'm actually going to have, I promised the students after this I'd go back and try it on them and see if they, if it made it clearer. I mean, I think it helps to kind of see simply where everything is on one sheet of paper. And I think we need to, you know, recognise that, that this, it is as complex as it is, you need to actually be able to see through it to the elements of it. Because it says potentially complex, but really we need to still see it and understand it.
Was your question? You had a question?
No, well, that was more a statement. More a statement, and they answered it. But it's just being able to sort of see through it and see the elements of it, and have those, you know, the diagrams to kind of see what the what the bits are and how they come together, and then how to make those decisions to work out if we're going to have the debate, where are we, and what are the other issues we need to think about.
We'll take that as a comment in a Q&A session. Yes, that's right. And if you could all join with me, please, in thanking Dr. Warren.
Hello.
That's an issue. So if you